I smoothed the wrinkles on my freshly pressed white blouse, flattened the bow encircling my collar, and tucked back a stray hair into my tightly wound chignon. The humid walk through the foggy Zurich streets to the Swiss Federal Polytechnic campus played with my careful grooming. The stubborn refusal of my heavy, dark hair to stay fixed in place frustrated me. I wanted every detail of the day to be perfect. Squaring my shoulders and willing myself to be just a little taller than my regrettably tiny frame, I placed my hand on the heavy brass handle to the classroom. Etched with a Greek key design worn down from the grip of generations of students, the knob dwarfed my small, almost childlike hand. I paused. "Turn the knob and push the door open," I told myself. "You can do this. Crossing this threshold is nothing new. You have passed over the supposedly insurmountable divide between male and female in countless classrooms before, and always succeeded." Still, I hesitated. I knew all too well that while the first step is the hardest, the second isn't much easier. In that moment, little more than a breath, I could almost hear Papa urging me on. "Be bold," Papa would whisper in our native, little-used Serbian tongue. "You are a mudra glava, a wise one. In your heart beats the blood of bandits, our brigand Slavic ancestors who used any means to get their due. Go, get your due, Mica. Go get your due." I could never disappoint him. I twisted the knob and swung the door wide open. Six faces stared back at me, five dark-suited students and one black-robed professor. Shock and some disdain registered on their pale faces. Nothing, not even rumors, had prepared these men for actually seeing a woman in their ranks. They almost looked silly with their eyes bulging and their jaws dropping, but I knew better than to laugh. I willed myself to pay their expressions no heed, to ignore the doughy faces of my fellow students, who were desperately trying to appear older than their 18 years with their heavily waxed mustaches. A determination to master physics and mathematics brought me to the Polytechnic, not a desire to make friends or please others. I reminded myself of this simple fact as I steeled myself to face my instructor. Professor Heinrich Martin Weber and I looked at each other. Long-nosed, heavily browed, and meticulously bearded, the renowned physics professor's intimidating appearance matched his reputation. I waited for him to speak. To do anything else would have been perceived as utter impertinence. I could not afford another such mark against my character, since my mere presence at the Polytechnic was considered impertinent by many. I walked a fine line between my insistence on this untrodden path and the conformity still demanded of me.
"You are?"
he asked, as if he weren't expecting me, as if he'd never heard of me. "Miss Mileva Maric, sir." I prayed my voice didn't quaver. Very slowly, Weber consulted his class list. Of course he knew precisely who I was. Since he served as head of the physics and mathematics program, and given that only four women had ever been admitted before me, I had to petition him directly to enter the first year of the four-year program, known as Section 6. He had approved my entrance himself. The consultation of the class list was a blatant and calculating move, telegraphing his opinion of me to the rest of the class. It gave them license to follow suit.
"The Miss Maric from Serbia or some Austro-Hungarian country of that sort?"
he asked without glancing up, as if there could possibly be another Miss Maric in Section 6, one who hailed from a more respectable location. By his query, Weber made his views on Slavic Eastern European peoples perfectly clear. That we, as dark foreigners, were somehow inferior to the Germanic peoples of defiantly neutral Switzerland. It was yet another preconception I would have to disprove in order to succeed. As if being the only woman in Section 6, Only the fifth to ever be admitted into the physics and mathematics program wasn't enough. Yes, sir.